Yes, you are listening to Audible Interlude, a G.I. Joe podcast. And no, we do not have a new theme for this week due to circumstances beyond our control. We are no longer using our theme song, our old theme song that everybody knows and loves. But we have a brand new theme song coming to our live stream on February the 16th. So come hang out with us on the Needless Things YouTube channel, have some fun, and listen to the all-new Audible Interlude theme song. It's awesome. Welcome to Audible Interlude, a G.I. Joe podcast, where you will never catch us lip-syncing to the lamest song ever made. I am your host, Dave West, codename Phantom Troublemaker.
I am your co-host, Noel Wood, codename Crapshoot.
And I'm your Cobra intern that feels this is the one time where television really fails to capture the true excitement of a large squirrel predicting the weather. Codename Legion Cub.
You can follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. Click that follow button and subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review. And on Instagram, follow us at Audible Interlude Podcast. While you're there on Instagram, you can do two things. One, check the pinned stories. Go to our TeePublic store and get yourself some merchandise. We've got shirts, hats, shorts, all kinds of different stuff. Wait for one of those great TeePublic sales. Get some merch and then wear it to a live show where we are appearing, and we'll get you some free swag. Also, while you're there, shoot us a message with your email address, and we'll get you added to the Audible Army Facebook group. Check us out live on the Needless Things YouTube channel. Our next live show is February the 16th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Put it on your calendar. Join us there for a lot of G.I. Joe fun. And actually, that will be our post-Toy Fair episode. So we should have some news. Actually, we've already got some news, but we're not going to talk about it tonight because we want to do it on the live show with all of our nice visuals and everything else that we do. So check us out on the Needless Things YouTube channel. And then also that week, we will be doing a Needless Things podcast episode recapping the non-G.I. Joe stuff from Toy Fair, our favorites from that. G.I. Joe number 19 is coming out this month. Our review for that will be up, I believe, next week. Next week's going to be real busy, I'm starting to realize. So be sure and check us out on your favorite social media. But the most important thing you can do is spread the word about Audible Interlude. Tell your friends, share the videos, the audio episodes, the live streams, whatever it is. Make sure people know about Audible Interlude, a G.I. Joe podcast, where we will also be revealing our brand new theme song on that next live stream. So we got a little follow-up here, and I don't think we were ever totally clear about this, or at least I wasn't clear about this. The purpose of the follow-up portion of the show is for stuff that's not quite news, or maybe we're catching up on something we talked about in a previous episode, or maybe just sharing a shipping update about something, Noel. Maybe we would talk about, hey, I got a shipping notice for something that's coming in pretty soon.
That's your thing.
So we'll start it. Well, first of all, you've got, and I'm guessing you're going to be saving this, but you've got something very special that none of the rest of us have yet. Are you going to be saving that for next week, though?
Yes, I can save that for next week.
Okay, that's fair enough. So I got shipping notices from last week from Big Bad for 3 Fresh Monkey Fiction Operation Monster Force items. The Spy, the Enemy, which is the blue suited hooded figure. And then the Spy is the one in the tuxedo, and Chatsworth. All 3 of those coming soon. Now, I haven't been charged for them as of the 9th. But I expect that this week, by the time you're hearing this, I will probably have been charged for those. And then also G.I. Joe Classified Series, I got arriving soon notices for Lifeline, Hit and Run, and the Night Viper, which I expect, again, for those to be charging probably this week. But then Amazon sent notices that Lifeline and Hit and Run would be arriving on the 9th. And then the morning of the 9th, I got notices saying, these have been delayed. Can you please approve them or do you still want them? Which is really weird because usually those, the ones that where you have to approve it are like weeks out. It's very rarely like you're getting this today. Oh, no, you're not. So I did approval for both of them, which I want to talk to you guys about this a little bit in a second. I did approval for both of them because for the purposes of reviewing stuff on the Needless Things YouTube channel, I want those figures as soon as I can possibly get them. And that has an effect on who I get them from. If you take my money the soonest, you get my business. So later in the day, I got a notification that Hit and Run had shipped. Okay. I would be here Wednesday. And then Lifeline's still up in the air. I would imagine sometime soon I'll get the shipping notice for him. But, you know, we've talked a little bit. Well, we've talked about a lot about kind of corruption in business and how these big businesses are terrible and killing, you know, industry in America. I don't like Amazon. They're convenient. And it's a very easy way to get all kinds of different things. But Jeff Bezos is a scumbag. He treats his employees horribly. Amazon is part of the reason why small business in America has been strangled nearly to death. They're bad. They're just bad. But unfortunately, where we as Americans have gotten is where the convenience has outweighed the evil, which is gross. And I'm, you know, just as part of it as we all are. But I'm really starting to feel a certain way about it. And I would like, I'm considering limiting Amazon as much as I can in my budget. And just saying, you know what, I'm going to order this stuff from Big Bad. And just whenever it gets here, whatever the price difference is, because that's the considerations, is sometimes Amazon gets it early. But honestly, and you guys may have had different experiences, but I think when something has come early, more often than not, it's been from Big Bad.
Yeah, I've done really the only Joe pre-orders I've done from Amazon are the exclusives.
See, and you know, I usually do my roulette where it's Pulse, Amazon, Big Bad, and whoever gets it to me, gets it to me. So I'm considering just switching to Big Bad and not even thinking about Amazon. But then there's also the shipping. You know, yes, they have the $4 flat rate shipping. However, there's no telling how long that's going to take. So that adds to the turnaround time.
Which, so that's one of the things that usually irritates me a little bit about Big Bad. But, you know, again, I weigh that option of like, well, right, $4.99 shipping. So it's going to take them a week to process my order, get it shipped out, blah 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 blah. So I didn't tell you about this, but I think a couple of weeks ago I got impatient for one of the figures that was in my pile of loot. I only had like I think three things in my pile of loot, so I was like, I'm gonna go ahead and ship it. And I'd worked some overtime, so I was like, I'm going to do the expedited shipping, so that way,
ooh, the bougie shipping,
the $11. Yes, if it, because I figure if it takes them, you know, the 4 to 5 days to process the order, then I'm gonna get it a couple days after that. So it's only gonna take a week versus 2 or 3 weeks.
And oh, don't no. you feel fancy when but, you hit that that button for the full price shipping?
Yes,
I feel like, oh yes, let me. Oh, I have felt, Grey Poupon now?
I felt a little guilty, but then I got my shipping notice within 24 hours.
They were
able to process my order in a significantly less amount of time. And I have to say, again, you weigh those options, but it did not set well with me, because for, you know, not everyone can always afford to splurge on that kind of shipping. And I don't necessarily think that you should treat customers any differently.
Interesting.
I do think that if you have pre-ordered items and they are sitting on a shelf with your name on it, if I do the $4.99 shipping, it shouldn't
$4,
take you,
to be clear.
$4, sorry. $4. It shouldn't take you longer to process that to get it in the mail than it should for someone that's paying for FedEx.
So here's my two things about that. One, I think for $4, if it takes an extra week, it takes an extra week. But I think the reason for that is some kind of bulk shipping deal that they have. So once they have enough, let's say it's by weight. So once they have 150 pounds of product, they ship it. So that might be, and this is just me speculating, that might be your delay. And sometimes, because the $4 is a crapshoot. sometimes you pay your $4 and it ships out like the next day, FedEx. Sometimes you pay your $4. I have had, lucky. And it depends on the weight of your shipment also, it seems. And then there are other times I've paid the $4 and it's like you're saying, it takes like 5 days to finally ship it. And then they ship it DHL or, you know, whatever slow ass it is. So it's not, there are variables there. So my tendency lately, unless I just needed something or unless I was just dying to review something, is if I've got enough stuff, I'll do the $4. And most times it gets here pretty quick.
Interesting.
But if I have like a figure, but I'm like, man, I need that in my hands right now, I'll go ahead and do FedEx.
I have gotten lucky because I only have ever used the $4 shipping, but I tend to wait till my, you know, my pile of loot is got things that are expiring soon.
I was getting ready to say, I can see you just waiting the 90 days and being like, okay, I have to, because if patience, thy name is Noel.
Well, and I don't really like do a lot of stuff that is like, you know, gotta have this now, pre-order stuff. Yeah. Like my Joe stuff, I typically do through Pulse. But things like, you know, when I ordered the Ghostbusters figure, they sat there for a little while because I was like, I don't need those right this minute.
Yeah,
you know, I can wait. I can wait a few weeks. You know, a few other like Transformers items I've got. I just finally shipped out like the 6 things or so that were sitting in my pile of loot. But the other thing, this is why they have a great business model, is because I will just add things to my order because, oh, well, once I'm not paying an extra for shipping. So I bought a whole, I bought a case of the old reaction figures because they were essentially $4 a piece, so I can put them up for sale for charity at a future event for the finest. So I was like, well, $4 a piece, you know, what, why not just go ahead and buy a case. But like, as soon as I shipped all that, I immediately, like 2 days later, got the notification that I did have a pre-order that was going, and it was for an Optimus Prime bust that I bought.
Every time.
If I just waited 1 week longer.
No, it without fail, as soon as you decide, okay, I'm gonna pull the trigger now, within 24 hours something will happen like that.
Yep.
It's hilarious. I'm seriously considering just switching everything over to Big Bad, and just however that goes, it goes. And look, it'll be easier to keep track of. It's a company that I've been using for 20 however many years now, and I know them. Like, I've talked to them at shows. Like, I feel good about supporting them. So I'm after this wave probably going to make that switch. In other shipment news, let me ask you guys, is there any shipment less exciting to monitor than action figure stands? I realize, so when I got that collection of vintage Joes in 2020, I ordered 250 stands from Small Joe, because I was like, this is all the stands I will ever need.
Yep, I thought the same thing.
Guess what? I got down to about 10 left in that bag. And I was like, you know what? I better go ahead and order some more stands. Now, I only ordered 100 this time because 100 more stands, that's all the stands I'll ever need. I just didn't
for like 2 weeks.
They're a good bit more expensive now than they were when I ordered 6 years ago. I mean, not a good bit, but it's a bigger, $250 is a bigger chunk of change. And I was like, I just don't want to spend it right now. But between Vintage Joe's and Reaction Plus, because I put those on stands as well, mm-hmm. it's eating up my stands faster. But so these stands, you know, I get the shipping notice from Small Joe's. And I was like, ooh, shipping note. Oh, okay. Well, whatever. I don't care when those get here. Of course, these got here in like 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every time I've ordered stands from Small Joe's, I feel like they get here. I get the notification they ship like within 24 hours.
So this is probably going to sound crazy. I had completely forgotten that Small Joe's sold parts, like vintage parts. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I hadn't thought about it in years, but after I made my order, I was like, you know, I haven't really looked at this website in a few years now, but I think at some point, maybe their prices seemed a little high. Something happened to where I was like, I just didn't look at Small Joe's anymore. And I started poking around and they've got so much inventory of backpacks and helmets and rifles and vehicle parts and whatever else. I just didn't remember them having that much of that. And I'm kind of wondering if maybe at some point they ran dry a little bit and now they're stocked up again. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, but their prices seemed reasonable too.
Well, yeah. And their prices are very reasonable, especially if you're relying on going to a show to find that specific backpack or whatever. Yeah. You might find it cheaper there, but if you need it right away, it's going to be a lot cheaper on Small Joe's than if you try to get it on eBay or whatever at that point.
Well, and also I would love to feel like I have the time to hunt for those little accessories at a show, but I don't.
Right.
I don't feel like I have that time.
Well, I've tried to do it before where I come with a list of things I need and yeah. I spend 5 to 10 minutes digging around in a bin and I'm just like, I don't want to do this.
Right. Right. It's for me that, and I know people love the same thing with like comic books. People love digging through bins. I think I told you guys when I did that, there's something called Charlie's Collectibles Show over in Stone Mountain mm-hmm. on Memorial Drive. That's great, by the way. If you're in that area, go check them out one weekend. Every time I've gone, I've found something cool.
Although, boy, yeah. I kind of had a rant about what it's doing to the, you know, other shows that are going on because, boy, the Conyers show this year was dead. Yeah. And I've got a feeling that that has a big... A big part
having a constant supply of vintage toys, but I went and sold there one weekend. Well, no, actually, that's right. I learned this lesson when I did my yard sale, because I had stuff sitting out on tables, all nice and neat, and people just kind of glance at it, and I was like, you know what? Let me try something, and I swept a bunch of stuff into bins and put them out, and people started digging through the bins. I was like, what are you doing? This was nicely displayed on the tables before. People
there's love a psychology.
There's a,
yeah, it is.
Yeah, there's an excitement to it of, oh, he may not know what he
right,
had.
Right.
And I'm going to dig through here, and I might find that diamond in the rough or that.
That makes sense.
You know, that surprise piece.
And that's the comic book mentality,
too.
Do
it. And at Joe Fest, I think usually, like, within the first few hours that I'm there, I may dig through a bin, but I don't have the patience to do it multiple times.
Well, anymore. I was at there was a Lego convention this weekend up in Gwinnett County, Atlanta Brick Con. And, you know, it's a lot of displays, like my lug was there doing the display and a bunch of other, you know, lugs from across the country. Lego user group, by the way, lug. But you know, they had some guests, people from like Lego Masters and all that. So, you know, but I was looking over at all the vendors, and 99% of the vendors were just people with like retired sets or, you know, just box sets. Then like custom parts, which I have no interest in. And then they were selling minifigures, and I have no interest in most of that stuff. What I want to go there for, and I did find the one vendor who was selling loose bricks, is I want to go to the big tray of bricks and just dig through, because hey, I can fill a bin for $10. I'm gonna go find all the tiniest little parts I can find. And I literally spent I spent an hour and 10 minutes just digging through for $10 worth of parts. But I'm happy to do that. That's a little different than digging for Joe parts, because I'm not looking for specific things. I'm just looking for, oh, this will do.
And that's a good return on your time investment.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with this, if I'm talking about spending $2 on a backpack at Joe Fest after searching for it for 20 minutes versus spending $10 to get it shipped to me from Small Joe's, I'm spending the $10.
Yeah. Yep.
Just like that gray Poupon FedEx button, right, on Big Bad, I'm going to feel like a big spender on Small Joe's.
So then you got to treat yourself.
That's right. Let's see. Another little piece of information we want to share: on February the 11th, which will have happened by the time you're hearing this episode, Midtown Comics is doing a Whatnot stream with Larry Hama. And I'll tell you right now, I am well aware, because it has been told to me over and over and over again, I am well aware that I should be on Whatnot, especially now. And I'm so terrified of new things that I just don't want to, but I know I should. But apparently there is going to be a G.I. Joe Classified reveal on that live stream. And when I first saw that, I honestly just dismissed it. I thought, this has to be like a miscommunication somewhere, because it doesn't look, the promotion for it is not through Hasbro. It's from Midtown Comics. And I just kind of thought like somebody somewhere didn't quite understand what, like, this will be an exclusive cover for a comic or something. Like somebody got confused somewhere. And then Christian, you brought it up in the chat, and I was like, yeah, I know. And I've kind of thought about it a little more, and I'm not sure. And then I saw it somewhere else where it was very clear. Lenny reposted it. So I was like,
that makes it official.
Right. So February 11th, and I don't know if a pre-order was involved or not. We'll certainly follow up on this on the live stream, but something is happening, and we don't know if it's related to that shadowed out silhouette, right? The silhouette reveal or what, but we'll certainly know by Monday. And then the last thing I wanted to cover, which by the way, the long segment here, the last thing I wanted to cover is I've been every day, no exaggeration, every single day, I open up the Target app. Speaking of evil corporations, I open up the Target app and wait for those freaking divers to go down in price. And my gosh, they just are sitting there at $54.99. And I'm not paying $55 for those two. But
and they've been cluttering shelves every time I go into a Target for like 3 months.
Every day I open it up and it's like Snellville has only four remaining. That's what it says every time in like red print. Only four remaining, which is how many they got in the first place. They've just been sitting there. And what's going to happen is the toy hunters who are more on top of stuff than I am, you know, they'll be there 6 o'clock in the morning the day they go on clearance, and all four of them will be gone. And I'll open up the app and it'll say like divers $23.99, zero in stock. And I'll be like, "Dah!" But I'm not paying $55 for them, so I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. Cobra!
Welcome to Rank and File Card, where we're going to go through all of the G.I. Joe file cards, starting in 1982 and going all the way until there's no more, which we'll get to in the year 2067 at the rate we're going, but that's fine.
The same year that Nextel will finish putting out the Star Trek Bridge playset.
That's right. That's right. Star Trek will be reality by the time they actually get all those out.
Not at this rate.
But we were in 1985, which is, of course, the fourth year of G.I. Joe in stores, at least in the Real American Hero line. And we are in the seas. We do have a small confession that we did skip this character and went to the Crimson Guard, which is not completely alphabetical, which is the way we normally have been doing it. But that's just because, well, we've got a vehicle driver this time. And on at least on Yojo.com, they list them in a slightly different way than they do on 3D Joe's. So we are at Crankcase, who is the Awe Striker driver. And I think, did you guys both have Awe Strikers as kids?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you did not? Okay.
No.
He was definitely a ubiquitous vehicle. Pretty much everybody who I knew had one of these, so they were very, very popular at the time. So, of course, the driver's name is Crankcase. He is listed as the Awe Striker driver, AWE. His file name is Indiana Elwood G, which it just seems silly at this point in time. It's like, how many characters from 80s movies can we throw in to this guy's name? his primary military specialty is motor vehicle driver. Secondary military specialty is armor. And his birthplace is Lawrence, Kansas. Serial number is 45161-5102, and his grade is E4.
So I'd just like to say you could swap his file name and his birthplace, and it wouldn't make any. He could be from Elwood, Indiana, or he could be named Lawrence, Kansas.
Yeah. Like,
what does it even matter?
There are several ways to get from one place to another in Kansas, and driving fast is most of them. Crankcase was racing street machines when he was 16. This is no great feat since he had been building them from the time he was 13. He worked the stock car circuit for years until the boredom hit him like a brick wall. A recruiting sergeant with a crooked smile signed him up for a burst of four with promises of speed and glory. Crankcase graduated Ranger School and Desert Warfare School and attended the Special Air Service Tactical Driving School under the NATO Exchange Program. Qualified expert, M16, M1911A1, M60, and TOW. This is a lot of information for a vehicle driver.
It's a lot of information, and it's funny. I don't know what it is. I've never particularly liked the Crankcase figure, but I love his bio. Like the idea that he's basically like building cars, racing stock cars. Like it's a cool, it gives him, it just makes him seem really cool. And I think maybe that's my problem with the figure is, to me, the figure doesn't look like this guy.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a guy wearing like a sweater and trousers.
He looks like a nerd.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fairly, you know, standard looking military figure. So he's, you know, he looks very traditional, but yeah, there's not that much excitement when it comes to the way the figure looks.
Considering the background, because one of the things I've liked to start doing here recently is actually looking at the birthplaces to see, you know, if Larry is pulling any sort of information as far as like where they're from.
Oh, I like that.
And while I didn't necessarily find a lot of car related stuff, something I found interesting about Lawrence, Kansas is it was funded by abolitionists, and it is no stranger to military involvement, because it was the site of the Wakarusa, and I apologize if I say that wrong, the Wakarusa War, the sacking of Lawrence, and the site of the Lawrence Massacre. So it has kind of like a very, especially the whole abolitionist part, it has quite a history of military action in it.
Interesting. Now, did you look up Elwood, Indiana?
No, I didn't even think of that.
Is there an Elwood, Indiana?
I mean, surely there is. You know what? We're going to find out right now, because why not? Elwood, Indiana. Where to eat? Restaurants in Elwood, Indiana. Wow.
It's a city in Madison and Tipton counties. Look at that.
Of course, there's an Elwood. It's right up the road from the Shaw family farm.
Yeah, I wonder if Larry was just sitting there with these two names, Lawrence, Kansas, and Elwood, Indiana, and just going back and forth, like, which one? Because you know what?
Flip the coin.
The bio could fit either. You could just say Indiana. That's the way you get around.
Right.
It does make sense, too, because the Austriker is, it's like a dune buggy, and those are oftentimes like built out of like existing cars. So like people would take a Beetle and just strip off the, keep the chassis and just soup it up. And so like, it makes sense that a guy who tinkered with cars all his life would be driving this dune buggy and not just like a standard issue Jeep or something like that.
Well, and that was part of why this seemed so cool to me is, the Austriker was pretty unique early on in that you could pull that hatch off and remove the engine.
Mm-hmm.
So like it lent to this bio in that this guy would be tinkering with this thing. And like, it does look like you said, almost like a constructed, maybe a guy mm-hmm. just put it together. It fits the vehicle more than it fits the figure.
Yeah, you have to wonder, and this is the case, especially starting around this time and getting into later on, but a lot of the vehicle drivers just look like they were afterthoughts.
Yes.
And I don't think he's quite the level of like an Armadillo or one of those ones that came later on that's just like the most hideous figure you can find. But he definitely does not look like, he was the focus when they designed the Austriker. They were like, he needs a driver.
Crankcase, the figure has a lot. He does have a look. He does have personality, just not this personality.
Yeah.
Like if they had said he is a British Special Forces math expert, I would have been like, yes, that's this figure.
I can see that now. Looking at that fine mustache. All right, well, we're going to get to the quote, of course, which often accompanies these file cards. Ever get irritable when you're standing in a line that just doesn't seem to be moving at all? Well, the whole seems to be moving in slow motion to Crankcase all the time. Is that a typo?
I think that's supposed to be the whole world.
Yeah, but that's what
it is. The like on the card, it's a typo as well. Like it's not just the copy.
So yes, the hole seems to be moving in slow motion to Crankcase all the time. That's why he's constantly ticked off. He's just not happy unless he has a wheel in one hand, a shifter in the other, and the wind in his face.
Maybe that's a great why point. I like really? Him so much.
He's impatient.
Yeah.
Yeah, Crankcase is not a guy that would buy just the body of a Rattler and wait 8 years to assemble all the parts.
Right.
Right.
I kind of wish it had occurred to us, and I guess we could probably revisit this. I think this is one of the best pilot. I just call them all pilots, driver, whatever. I think one of the best driver cards we've seen so far. Mm-hmm. Because I really have a feel for Crankcase's, for Mr. Indiana's personality.
But I also think compared to the last few file cards that we've read, this is giving us a lot.
Yeah, I would agree. He feels just a little more fleshed out mm-hmm. than the past several, or honestly, than any we've read in a bit. And that's not to say any of them aren't good, but I feel like we've had a little bit of a run where more often than not, it's kind of a basic, you know, a snapshot of a character.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, this, which we feel like I feel like you could write a script around what's here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause I'm thinking of like the last few we've gotten. I mean, the Bazooka's file card was not that interesting. Barbecue's was, that's probably the last one we had that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And I mean Buzzer's got an interesting story, but there's just not a lot there.
Well, and you know what? I think for me, this is part of it, is that like Buzzer and Barbecue are to 49-year-old me, their file cards are a little more present in my brain, whereas I hadn't thought about Crankcase's file card in forever. It wasn't until I read it getting ready for the show that I remembered, oh man, I loved this file card when I was a kid. And I know I keep going back to it, but again, how anachronistic the figure is to this file card, to me, threw me off.
And we've had other file cards that talk about recruiters, but that line, a recruiting sergeant with a crooked smile,
who's that?
I can see that scene in my head. And we didn't get that kind of picture painted for us with previous Joes. So,
really good one. I think that in some of the more ones that we've read recently, they wouldn't have put all that detail in there. They would just say the sergeant signed him up with, you know, with great promises, but that sentence is very flowery.
Right.
And it almost seems like it's for a character that doesn't, you know, and I'm not saying he doesn't earn it, but you know, compared to some of the really iconic characters we've read the file cards of lately, there's just more detail in here.
Sentence could be a plot to a Sunbow episode.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say, is you could get 20 minutes of story out of that sentence. That's a synopsis there.
Mm-hmm.
Great file card. As far as the image on the file card, obviously that's taken from the front box art, which is, you know, classic Joe art. But he's got, it's funny, you can't, from this image, it is not apparent that red mustache.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does have the mustache, as many did. Yeah. It's kind of generic mustache Joe.
There's a character for something. I don't know where we're putting him, but Mustache Joe is going to show up again in Audible Interlude history. And it is kind of funny that Gung Ho's left hand is just in his bio image there.
Yeah, had to go somewhere.
great file card. Well, I would put it at certainly top 20 of what we've reviewed so far, just in illustrating the character and giving you a feel for who this person is. I think it's a great one. Cobra! I am so excited. I finally get to wrap up our series of convention exclusive Let's Freaking Go Ring entries. Noel and Christian, you technically got two. Christian, you got yours, and because remember you got your Thanksgiving one, because you
because I had one prepared for the live stream, and right, then I did the one right for our actual episode.
And just, you know, one thing or another has happened, as always does with this show, and mine has been delayed, but I am here now, finally get to share with you my Joe Fest exclusive P PGA Pro Tour of Duty box set. As we all know, Joe Fest takes place in Augusta, Georgia, which is legendarily a home of a golf tournament. So I thought, what better way to tie things together than golf, G.I. Joe, Augusta? So my box set, it's a pretty big set, but I think you guys would agree, if there's anywhere to put out a high-dollar, high-value set, Joe Fest is the place.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get right down into it. We've got seven figures. We have two vehicles, and we have one environmental accessory. So buckle up. Leading things off, codename Gong Show, Happy Gilmore has been recruited by the G.I. Joe team. Now, if you don't know, Gong Show is a hockey term for a wild, out-of-control game. So Happy's code name is Gong Show. He's been recruited by the Joe team because of his displays of rage that completely disorient his opponent. And the Joe team is aware that Cobra, in some way, some insidious way, is trying to put out brainwave controls during the televised Augusta golf tournament. And they've recruited Happy to help them weed out Cobra and put an end to this insidious plot. So these are all, again, let's freaking go ring. These are all O-ring figures. So Happy comes in his signature hockey jersey. Although, look, we want good toys. We want a storyline, but sometimes the need for something to be fun and toyetic is going to override the storyline a bit. So it's a G.I. Joe hockey jersey. Even though he's undercover, you know you want the G.I. Joe logo on that hockey jersey. It has to happen. His accessories, he comes with a hockey stick, his special putter with the hockey stick head on it, and then a standard golf club. The next figure in the set is Shooter McGavin, codename Breakfast Mamba. He comes with a golf club, a Cobra radio, which is literally just going to be the tiniest little walkie-talkie with a Cobra emblem, probably tampoed on the back. And then a Cobra headset, which will be just a mic and headset. But again, it's going to have a little Cobra tampo on the side. And Shooter McGavin is key to Cobra's plan to broadcast this mind control technology. Basically, it's Cold Slither, but golf, which sounds like the lamest thing ever. But trust me, it isn't. And if you haven't seen Happy Gilmore, my gosh, what are you doing with your life? Next figure in the set, Derek Chubbs Peterson, codename Lefty.
Well,
so...
so this is so we got Chubbs in the flesh in this game in this particular version.
Yes,
all right.
I don't know how that works. Well, no, actually, I just came up with an idea for how that works. Okay, so Shooter, just in his traditional blazer slacks, just looking like Shooter McGavin. Although maybe he's got a little Cobra lapel pin or something like that. So Chubbs again, he's in his sweater, his little hat. But the key to Chubbs, and maybe Chubbs is like a life model decoy type situation, I don't know, but he's got a removable right hand, and he comes with all of the battle android trooper attachments that can plug into that hand. He also comes with a golf bag that stores those bad attachments, and a putter and a golf club. And I realize I could be naming golf clubs, but I'm not. And in my head, the golf bag probably, rather than being, you guys know Casey Jones' golf bag, like the that works like a real golf bag. This one probably has a hinge and folds open and has sculpted, like on one side, sculpted spots where you store the bat accessories. And then on the other side, maybe it has like a computer screen or something like that. And the golf bag just plugs into his back. There's no strap or anything because who cares? It's just got a little plug and it plugs into his back. Next up, obviously we have to have somebody from the Joe team coordinating Chubbs and Happy. So Lady J in disguise as a caddy. She also includes a golf bag, but this one is designed like a regular golf bag because she comes with four javelins disguised as golf clubs.
Nice.
So the tops of them just look like golf club handles, but the bottoms, there'd be like an arrow point, an explosive tip, whatever. So now we've got to talk about the Cobras who are conspiring to make this plan happen. First up, we have using the same body, because Lady J is going to have, it's going to be a male body, like in a baggy sweater or jacket or something. Okay. So it's just her head, but with like a nondescript body. Sharing that body will be Raptor in disguise as a caddy. He comes with Admiral Ledger because Admiral Ledger will be interfering in the tournament, swooping down and moving the balls around to cheat to help Shooter McGavin win. Raptor also includes, so he's going to have his default head, but it's not going to have the headdress attached. It's just bald, but he still has his makeup. Again, we're going for toyetic. Storyline is what it is, but we want toyetic. So Raptor has his like blacked out little eyes, but he's also got just a little caddy hat, like a little floppy hat, and his headdress. So if you want, you can put his bird headdress on that caddy body and make it as ridiculous as you want. And he also includes a golf club and the same golf bag as Lady J. Again, those just plug into their back. Next up, we have a battle android trooper that is colored to match a putting green. So on its chest, it has the display. It's still lenticular, but the display is a putting green with a little flag. But there's aiming reticle over it. So when you move the bat, the reticle appears on top of the putting green. The bat, it comes with all of the bat accessories, including the backpack. But instead of the laser accessory, it has a golf club that plugs into its arm. And it also includes a soft goods cover that looks like putting green grass. Because I mentioned Ledger swooping in to move around the golf balls. The action scene I'm picturing with the bat is Happy and Chubbs make it to the putting green, and all of a sudden the putting green opens up and there's a bat in there. Oh my God, it's a robot! Something like that. And finally, the last figure is the one that's ostensibly in charge of the Cobra operation. It's Zartan in a disguise as a food truck server. It's the same body as Raptor and Lady J, but just in different colors. He's got his just regular Zartan head, but he includes masks that's a generic food truck worker, a Happy Gilmore mask, and a Chubbs mask. So he can confuse the two of them and talking to each other. It'd be like like a farce where 1 minute Chubbs is talking to Happy, then Zartan runs off, switches the masks, goes talk to Chubbs. He also includes a submarine sandwich and a soda cup to go with the food truck, which we'll get to in a minute. Then we get to the vehicles, a tactical golf cart, which is a retooled Cobra Scorpion. So if you look up the Cobra Scorpion, it's going to be very similar to that, only it's going to have the top portion like a golf cart has. And then you can fit the golf clubs like on the back. It'll have little holes where you can, or I'm sorry, golf bags. We'll have little holes where you can stick the golf bags in the back. This vehicle will be for the Joes. So Chubbs, Lady J, and Happy can all fit on this vehicle. And then on the Cobra side, obviously Zartan is going to need a food truck. So we have a retooled Coastal Defender that's designed as a Springfield Subs food truck. It's going to be colored blue. It's going to have a Springfield Subs logo on either side. And then it pops open, and the inside is going to be just like the regular Coastal Defender. And then the last, accessory environmental play piece is a soft goods grass play mat. That's the same material as what comes with the bat, but it has, in the middle, there's a little hole in the, it's going to be like a big circle. There's a little hole in the middle, and there's a plastic support that you can put a little flag in. So it'll actually be a little raised putting green. Now, if we want to go crazy, it's going to come with 10. It's going to come with 10. Yeah, I know. We haven't gone crazy yet.
When have we never not gone crazy?
Well, let's say, so far, it's much milder than my version would be. So,
oh, really? I sense challenge in those words.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going crazy, it would come with like 7 of those bats instead of just 1. But with prices being what they are, because there were convention sets that came with like lots of troop builders or whatever. But yeah, that is my Happy Gilmore Joe Fest exclusive PGA Pro Tour of Duty set. What craziness would you include in that, Noel?
Well, I would not be able to do this set without including the greatest villain from the Happy Gilmore now franchise, which would be a Ben Stiller Hal, because he is truly the most evil character in that film franchise.
I got about 10 minutes into the sequel and couldn't do it.
Once it gets started, I actually really enjoyed it.
Okay.
Minus a lot of the, we're going to go back and remind you about the parts that you liked about the previous movie, but
well, that's the first 10 minutes felt like that. Yeah. This is not worth my time, but if you say it's good, I'll give it another chance.
I also would have worked in a Richard Kiel in there somewhere as a giant sized figure.
I was waiting for that.
I thought about him. I thought about the what's his name? The yelling guy.
Joe Flaherty.
Joe Flaherty. Even Rob Schneider, who nobody wants a Rob Schneider. But no, wait, that's Waterboy, isn't it?
Yes.
That's Waterboy. So yeah, good. We don't have to worry about Rob Schneider, and nobody ever should. Yeah, I thought about Joe Flaherty and Richard Kiel, but I was just trying to keep it as, you know, I didn't want to get too, because if you get too many of the tertiary characters in there, it starts to be a little unwieldy. But yeah, if we're going crazy, oh sure. We also include the alligator.
Yeah.
We've already got Fiona.
That was kind of my surprise, was that the alligator did not make an appearance here, especially once Chubb had entered the chat.
Yeah, and you know what? Since it's a slug, we you know, if we're pretending we have the tooling for the Coastal Defender and the Cobra Scorpion, we can pretend we've got the tooling for that. So yeah, we'll throw in Croc Master's crocodile.
Well, and you could, and storyline, it could be either way. Either that crocodile or alligator was a Cobra operative the whole time, or Chubbs has managed to tame this alligator.
Well, which they kind of alluded to in the movie a bit. I mean, look, I would love to include Happy's grandma in the kiss mask. I would to be honest, Let's Freaking Go Ring would be just Happy Gilmore. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that's, I would I buy the inclusion of Zartan.
Oh, wait. So wait, does his character come back in the sequel?
Who?
Ben Stiller?
Yes. He actually has a fairly significant role in the sequel.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And I will say, Ben Stiller with a mustache is one of the most unnerving things I've ever seen.
Well, and his other main mustache role, he's essentially already an operative of Cobra, because does run Globo Gym's Purple Cobras.
Which, you know what, that movie is still hilarious. It's not in the great pantheon of comedies of that era. I don't know why. I feel like there's a super hardcore, tiny niche audience for that movie, for Dodgeball. And like, if it's on, I'll watch it, but it's not one that I'm like, I have like Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, Old School, like a lot of
Anchorman.
Anchorman.
Step Brothers.
I have to own. Yes, Step Brothers. Oh my gosh.
See, all
gets
the
funnier
way
every time I see it.
Yes, I was just getting ready to say that. Somehow, because there are plenty of movies that are just as funny. Step Brothers, I feel like I laugh more. I feel like I'm almost getting to a point of dangerous, like, health interactions.
Yeah, I saw that movie in the theater, thought it was amusing, but it kind of annoyed me because of how ridiculous their characters were.
Same,
but the
same.
More I see it, just watching it on television when we were just in the hotel room last week, I was howling.
Dude, Catherine Hahn, I almost have a freaking aneurysm when Catherine Hahn... I can't even handle her character anymore. I cry every single time. That scene with her and
John C. Reilly.
I can't deal with it.
Yeah.
It's too much. And his reaction to her. Anyway.
Yeah. I think the Dodgeball has the place in my heart because I saw that movie like opening night with a bunch of friends, and when they get to the big battle, I just remember leaning over to our friend Jay, and we both realized at the same time, it's Joe versus Cobra. Like, that was the big battle, and we're like, oh, our people are now writing these movies and putting like, you know, subtle things in there.
Anyway, that is the Joe Fest exclusive PGA Pro Tour of Duty. And in 2 weeks, we'll be back with a group Let's Freaking Go ring that we kind of determined by accident today, but we're not going to say what it is yet. You'll just have to tune in and find out.
Cobra!
This is Instruments of Destruction, where generally we will pick one playset or vehicle or non-figure release from the G.I. Joe line and talk about it. But we're doing something a little different this week. And I honestly don't totally remember how we came to this. Obviously, Groundhog Day was the triggering factor, but I don't remember how we ended up with, like, let's make a groundhog.
Yeah, I think I just made a suggestion. Like, yeah, we should just like develop a vehicle called the Groundhog, and when we realized that our next live stream was going to be on Groundhog Day.
Well, and I think that was how is there nothing in kind of like when with Mongoose, which later on we found out there was a Mongoose reference, but like how is there not a Groundhog in all the years of Real American Hero? It just seems obvious, and then we kind of stopped. Because we were like, well, wait, let's see what each of our ideas of this groundhog would be and do an Instruments of Destruction. So I've been talking a lot. Christian, would you like to share your groundhog with us? And remember, this is a family-friendly show.
Correct.
Share that hog.
Let me pull mine up. I did not do artwork on mine.
Well, and that's fine. I only drew it up so you guys would kind of have a frame of reference for what we're looking at. It's so rough, I'm probably not even going to share it on Instagram.
And so. I am so surprised when we were looking into this, because I would have sworn that the Cobra Tunnel vehicles, you know, there were like the two versions of them. One of them was called Groundhog, but no, it's both Mole Rat.
Mm-hmm.
I was totally, totally floored. So I started thinking of the name Groundhog. What does that kind of evoke? And I went from Groundhog to Pound Hog. So, yes. So my vehicle, imagine. Yes, but imagine a combination of the Valor versus Venom Hiss tank, right, with the very blocky rectangular body.
Yes.
But with the attack arms of the Thundercats, the Evil Mutants Fist Pounder. So it is a ground shaking machine that goes into battle with the Buzz Boars. So it's used to throw the G.I. Joe vehicles and troops on the ground off. So it's the Groundhog, right? So instead of necessarily like cute, cuddly rodent, think this is Roadhog's kind of pieced together Mad Max vehicle with lots of spikes. The Hiss tank body, I want it to look like it's pieced together, right?
Yeah.
From
yeah.
sheets mm-hmm. of metal that don't exactly match. So, you know, one side of it might be like, what is it? Like the corrugated metal or however. Corrugated, can't say that.
The wavy Lays yes. metal.
Like I keep thinking of how the Thunder Machine looks, you know, yeah. on the back with those panels. That's how I want this to look. I don't want the seams to fit perfectly. And then much like a lot of the great G.I. Joe vehicles, Roadhog drives it from the top. He sits outside.
Now, are you talking about Road Pig, or is this?
Sorry, Road Pig.
Well, Road I don't know. Pig. I kind of like it being a new character, Road Hog.
Could be just a repaint of him.
Road Pig's brother, who's a little person, who drives this vehicle because he's a little person.
His name is Master, and Road Pig is Blaster.
Yeah. Right. <Yeah. laughs> And he runs Border Town. But yeah, so that was kind of my image. It's got tank treads, because his tank. But then on the big fist pieces up front, you've got just the wheels, right? So you can roll it along, and it has the action feature like most of them do, right? So it's got like the spring loaded, but instead of one fist at a time kind of thing, you can raise the fist until you hear it click, you push the button, and then it's bam, they slam down on the ground, and like I said, they knock all the Joes. Earthquake.
That's awesome. I love that. I want to buy, especially looking at the visual aid of the Hiss 4. As you're describing this, I want this. Like, this is great. Okay. So mine is way in the other direction. So I'll go ahead and lay mine out there. So I'll just, so you guys can see it, I'll throw up my extremely crude draw. This is the first time I've ever drawn on a tablet. So I went with the subterranean driller module because Cobra's got the mole pod, Cobra's got the buzz bore. The Joes don't have any kind of subterranean vehicle like this. So yeah. The idea for mine is it's a subterranean vehicle, but it's specifically for troop deployment. So it has a rotating drill up top, and probably the closest inspiration for this is the Foot Clan's that big drill vehicle that they mm-hmm. had. Mm-hmm. So it's got a rotating drill and fold out laser emplacements that turn using the, if you look at the bottom, there are three thrusters, two smaller thrusters and then a big central thruster. Well, there would actually be three of the thrusters. You just can't see it in this picture. But when you turn that central thruster, that turns the wheel at the top, and just above that yellow part there are three like curved hatches or panels that fold out and rotate when you turn that. So if the vehicle is traveling, you just turn it. But if it's upright, well, I guess I should explain what it does. So this is the Groundhog is the Joe's go-to vehicle when they need shock and awe in the dead of night. The Groundhog is capable of subterranean travel at speeds of up to 45 miles per hour. It erupts from the ground, immediately activating its shadow caster, an LED capable of projecting 500,000 lumens. At the same time, laser emplacements will deploy, rotating in a 360-degree firing pattern and covering the deployment of up to four highly qualified G.I. Joe troops. So what we're looking at here is there are four hatches around the body of this is a drone vehicle. The troops are not piloting it, so it's all about troop deployment. So there are four hatches around the body of the vehicle. And you can see those between the hatches. Those are treads that help it move through the ground. So four Joes will be in those hatches. And when it pops up out of the ground, those ramps deploy. And those are what keep it stable and upright during all of this. Above those hatches, that is going to be a clear plastic piece with an LED in the middle. So you press a button and it lights up and casts that light. Imagine, well, here's the quote. I guess it would be Stalker's quote that I wrote about the vehicle. The Groundhog has been such a spectacularly effective piece of ordnance that General Hawk has joked about reducing the Joe roster to the four troops it can accommodate. Imagine you're a Cobra battalion minding your own business in the middle of the night when all of a sudden the brightest lights and lasers you've ever seen erupt from the ground in the middle of your sight. And your night only gets worse because the best soldiers in the world are coming out of all of that yelling, "Yo, Joe." So this pops up out of the ground. Those ramps drop. The light turns on, brightest light you've ever seen. And then the lasers on the top are turning and just firing in all directions as the Joes deploy. And then obviously when the Joes get to a certain point, the lasers cut out. Or maybe just fire. I don't know. So it has LED shadow caster light inside a translucent core visible through the top of the troop compartments to keep the troops' eyesight intact. So there would be the top of it, like that translucent piece would just be the top of the troop compartments, really more for budget reasons than anything. But when you open those ramps, you'd be able to see that light coming down into the troop compartments as well. And then the box art would have Tunnel Rat, Psych Out, Jinx, and Falcon on the packaging. And that is my... Oh, and it's... So just for fun, it's Night Force colors.
Mm. Makes sense.
But yeah, that was my idea of the Groundhog.
Nice. So when I thought about doing my Groundhog, of course, the obvious thing I'm thinking is, you know, this is going to be some sort of subterranean vehicle, obviously. But I'm thinking about Groundhogs and Groundhog Day and what is the Groundhog best known for? Yes, burrowing, but also for predicting the weather. So Cobra's Weather Dominator and related climate manipulation projects operate on a massive atmospheric scale. However, G.I. Joe learned early that weather weapons require ground-based infrastructure. That includes seismic anchors, underground power relays, and climate sensors that are buried deep beneath the Earth's surface. The Groundhog was developed to hunt those systems from below. So it bores underground to monitor subsurface climate data, detect unnatural atmospheric conditions, and locate buried Cobra installations that serve as anchors for weather control events. The Groundhog is small but packed with essential features. Its powerful rotating drill cracks through the most dense bedrock with ease, while its triple tread layout allows it to gain traction at any angle. You had the four treads on yours, and I was thinking similar, where you have like a third one at the top, and you have two that are kind of angled out so it can, you know, go in all those directions. Within its armored hull lies sophisticated seismic and atmospheric sensors that can identify signs of trouble within fractions of a second. So My vehicle is actually fairly small. It really only has one, like, room for one figure in there. But when I was thinking about this, because we didn't actually say we were necessarily designing a vehicle, we said, what is a G.I. Joe Groundhog? I thought about doing a character named Groundhog, but I decided let's do both because, you know, a lot of G.I. Joe figures come with, or G.I. Joe vehicles come with figures. So our driver for the Groundhog, code name, Forecast.
Nice.
His file name is Connors Philip. His primary military specialty is geophysical intelligence. Secondary is meteorology. Birthplace, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. And his grade is E5. Philip Connors once served as the beloved weatherman on his local news affiliate, but the repetitive work made him feel like he was reliving the same day over and over again. He enrolled at the University of Pittsburgh to pursue an advanced degree in seismology and was recruited into G.I. Joe after identifying repeated storm patterns linked to seismic activity that conventional models dismissed as coincidence. His research demonstrated that certain natural disasters, in quotes, showed mechanical regularity and subterranean signatures inconsistent with naturally occurring seismic and atmospheric behavior. So basically, he figured out that, hey, there's something to all these crazy weather patterns going on underground. Forecast specializes in identifying artificial climate events by monitoring pressure gradients, temperature shifts, and underground resonance patterns. He is calm, analytical, persistent, and rarely surprised by anything. His discipline has led him to mastery in classical piano and ice sculpture. Connors insists that weather leaves evidence long before it reaches the surface. And of course, like all great file cards, we've got to get our little quote from Stalker. When Forecast emerges from the ground, we'll know whether the tide has turned or if we'll be facing six more weeks of battle.
I love that. <That's great. laughs>
I was trying to slip in as many subtle Groundhog Day references while also throwing in some things that ice sculpture and piano had to be in there.
Yeah. Well, excellent. So that is possibilities. And I don't believe we did specifically say vehicle when we were talking about the groundhog thing. But I think by the end of us just kind of loosely talking about it, we had all settled on probably a vehicle. But it was great instruments of destruction. Here's what we should do. We should put a prompt up in the Audible Army Facebook group asking for... No, we shouldn't, because we'll just get a bunch of goofy... like popsicle and stuff. You know what? Whatever. We'll throw up a prompt in the Audible Army Facebook group because we can still choose from what gets suggested as to
right. whether we're not obligated to do your silly.
Right. We're not obligated to do popsicle. Yeah. Going forward, I think we might do a little bit more of this. Although we will still do the traditional instruments of destruction where we talk about actual existing products.
Cobra!
This is Knowing is Half the Babble, where each of us gets a little bit of time to talk about something that may not even be G.I. Joe related. You know what? I'll go ahead and go first because mine's not G.I. Joe related at all, but it is related to, man, sometimes you got to take a shot. As we all know, Alan Rickman passed away a while ago.
10 years ago, almost to the day.
Yeah. And his estate has slowly been working their way through everything that he has from his career. And I can't remember the name of the auction house, but one of those fancy pants auction houses that you look at and you're like, well, I'll never have enough money to buy anything from this. So delete. Well, a friend of mine, we all love Alan Rickman. We've talked about him on the show. He's been part of Let's Freaking Go Ring before. But a friend of mine is a devoted fan and was keeping an eye on this auction. and it was several different lots of Alan Rickman's scripts. And if you know anything about Alan Rickman, his scripts are just filled with notes that he makes about the characters, the dialogue. He will write entire backstories for characters, and they're all in there. And she, without really thinking that she had any chance whatsoever of getting any of this, she put in a bid and won one of the lots of his scripts, like his that he used. There are, and I might not be remembering this exactly correctly, two movies, three plays, something else, but they're these amazing like slipcover packages with like it looks incredible. And the pictures that she posted are all his handwritten notes.
Wow.
It's one of the most incredible collectible pieces of memorabilia I've ever seen. And the bid that she put in was something that like any regular person, any of us knows, could have put in, like a very manageable price. I don't want to say what it was, but it was something that I think any of the three of us would be like, yeah, that makes sense. You're probably not going to win, but I could afford that for that. And mm-hmm. she won. Mm-hmm. And I guess what I wanted to put out there is if you see something like that, don't assume you're not going to get it. Shoot your shot. You never know what you're going to end up with. And now she's got this one, you know, people overuse the word unique or once in a lifetime, but she literally has this unique once in a lifetime collection that nobody else in the world has from one of the greatest actors on stage or screen. That's awesome. So just think about that next time you see, you know, anything that you're like, I don't know. I never think I probably shouldn't bother. Always bother, because you never know. But also, don't bother beyond your means. Bother responsibly.
Truth.
Noel, what you got?
So mine, of course, I was out in San Diego last week. It's the time of that we were recording this. While I was out there, I was out there for a work conference. One of the speakers who actually was at our work conference was one of the first women to ever fly, actually as a fighter pilot. I believe she may have been the first one or one of the first ones to ever even fly an F-14 Tomcat for the Navy.
Oh, cool.
So she was, while she was talking and, you know, giving her inspirational story, I was much more interested in the awesome pictures that she was putting up in the slideshow of the aircraft carrier, and, you know, showing the slingshots and the tow cables as things are landing and all that. And then the following day, my wife and I went out to the Midway Museum, which is right there, you know, on the beach. You know, it's a big aircraft carrier, lots of planes on it. Google said you could get through it in 3 hours. 5 hours later, the place was closing and we didn't even get into the tower.
Wow.
But what all this is basically trying to say is that I was getting some major flag FOMO while I was out there. And it has shaped my brain over the course of the last couple of weeks to where I'm actually
you don't already have one.
Kicking tires, not kicking tires, but I'm peeking at you know what people are paying for ones and thinking about sure. like strategies. If like I would have no place to put it, I cannot imagine like putting together the money to you know and justifying the money to actually pay for one. But it's now problem. it's gotten onto my radar and I'm kind of mad at myself for it, but like the same time,
but like, you're Noel. This is what's going to happen is you're going to be like, yeah, so I went on this work conference and then all of a sudden this man showed up at the house that was trying to sell you soup cans or something and is like, oh, by the way, for $50, I have this GI Joe thing in the back of my truck. Do you want to get rid of it?
100% what's going to happen.
Yeah. You're going to be like, oh, I had a great aunt aunt's cousin, third neighbor removed, who I didn't even know existed, but left me in the will.
No. I'll tell you what's going to happen is somebody's going to show up at Noel's house, or he's going to be at like Chevron or something, and somebody's going to have in the back of their truck, they're just going to be standing there looking bewildered. And Noel's going to be like, "Hey, friend, can I help you out?" And they're going to be like, "Oh, well, I've got these two boats that I don't know what to do with." And Noel's going to be like, "Boats? What do you mean boats?" And he's like, "Well, I've got my nephew passed away, and he's got this one of the boats is still in the box. And then the other boat, we had to take it apart and put it in the box, but it had all the things and all the stickers and everything. And they're so big, I don't know what to do with them." And Noel's going to be like, "Well, I can take them for you." "Okay, cool. Here you go, pal." And Noel's going to be like, "So I got a Minton box, sealed flag, and one that's complete with the box." That's what the story's going to be.
The version of me that lives in your head is so much better than so much more fortunate than the real one. I appreciate your optimism.
I'll tell you right now, that story is less about you than it is about me. you guys know how badly I've been wanting a flag for years now, and I just can't. Space obviously is an issue. Although I did recently, I don't know if I even want to say this publicly. So Noel, you know, I've got for forever now, I've had two sofas down here in the Phantom Zone, or I had a sofa and a futon down here in the Phantom Zone. And I just don't entertain like I used to. And quite frankly, I enjoy records more than I enjoy people anyway. So I got rid of the sofa and bought two. I still got the futon over here, but I've got two pieces of furniture designed to store records.
I think they're called shelves.
And of course, they're not. They're like specifically for records. And I don't
know. Oh, okay.
Because they're not. Bookcases or record cases. I don't know what to call them. But anyway, so I got two of those. And then, of course, once I got those in here, I was like, "Oh, look at those big flat surfaces with nothing on them." So I got two of those cube shelf units that Walmart has with the 11-inch cubes. I've got two of those now on top of the record units. But the sofa took up so much space, like, I could put a lengthy table in that section of the room. But anyway, space, money, especially right now when I'm getting the business going and I'm trying to be a little more responsible, now is not the time for a flag. And I'm terrified that an offer I can't refuse is going to pop up at some, because this is the time it would happen.
Well, I'm at this point where I'm like, 15 years ago when I was writing an article on the flag for my website and I was perusing prices, and like $700 would get you a near complete flag back then.
I know.
And now I'm like, they're only going to get more expensive from here. So
right.
if I'm like, yeah, this is a 5-year goal, they might be $10,000 for a near complete one at that point.
And that's where I've been living. Although I will say, like 2020 would have been when I first started thinking like, I'm going to need to get one of these, and prices were like, they have come down since then, but they're not going to come down more.
Right.
So yeah, now is probably the time. Look, I'm turning 50 this year. I should treat myself. Treat yourself. All right, let's get away from this flag conversation. I don't like this. I don't like this conversation. Christian, babble us out of here. I know you're not thinking about.
A flag whatsoever. Nope,
stop. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to get Dave a flag. Is Christian, you're going to buy the most bare bones, missing the most accessories flag you can find. And I am going to film the 10-year process of you getting all of the parts to go with it.
There you go.
So we can write it off as an expense. Put that up on YouTube.
Get those viral views. You know what?
That's probably how I'm going to do that, is do it as a, because if I review it, it's an expense and I can write it off. Anyway, I'm sorry, Christian, please, please continue with your babble. That's not flag related.
All right. So, you know, last time I talked about how I've been looking at some of the other animation studios that worked on G.I. Joe projects and just some of the other things that they did where it kind of like blows my mind when I look at what the output for what they did for G.I. Joe was versus what they do maybe when a bigger studio throws some money at them or some of the projects that they work on. So G.I. Joe Spy Troops, the animation was produced by a company called RealFX, which did not sound familiar to me at all. However, they made what I think is one of the most beautifully animated movies ever created, The Book of Life. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It came and went in the theaters very, very quickly. But beautiful, beautiful animation.
Mariachi?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Wow.
That's, yeah.
That is night quite a yeah, quite day. A step.
But so as I was looking into them some more, what really surprised me was that they did theme park work. So I'm like, okay. Specifically, they did the animation for Simpsons the Ride at Universal Orlando that I did the grand opening for in 2008. And they did the animation for Despicable Me, Minion Mayhem. And the reason why that one floors me so much is because I would have thought Illumination did it, since they are the animation studio that makes the movies. But,
yeah,
they...
but you know what? It kind of does make sense, though, that Fox would get an outside studio for The Simpsons, and that like I kind of get that.
Yeah, it from what I read, because I also did the grand opening for Despicable Me, Minion Mayhem, but yeah, so Illumination did, you know, oversee RealFX working on it. But yeah, it just kind of blew my mind that again, when I, and not that Spy Troops is terrible. There's story there. It's just the animation maybe isn't
it's okay
where it needed to be. But to see that they also worked on these things. I mean, they did more television stuff than movies. It seems like, you know, they put a lot of eggs into The Book of Life, and only made one other movie after that called Rumble, which was involved with WWE. I've never even heard of it. I didn't deep dive into it yet. But yeah, so that's RealFX.
Okay, I'm looking up Rumble real quick just because if something... Oh my gosh. And this is 2021. This isn't even that old. I have no recollection of this.
Nope.
Will Arnett and Terry Crews. Wow, I guess that didn't do too well. Yeah, that's it. Well, it makes sense. It's almost like, you know, with the theme park stuff, it's almost like Hasbro farming Joe out to Super 7. Like, we can't do this, but we want this represented. Let's hire somebody to do it for us.
Yep.
It makes sense. Well, that is all the show we've got for you this week. That was a fun one. It was a fun, kind of weird one. But we need that from time to time. Well, I guess they're all pretty weird, but this one had its own unique flavor. Follow us on Instagram at Audible Interlude Podcast. Be sure and check out the Needless Things YouTube channel. Christian, where can we find that toy photography that you do so well?
You can find me on Instagram and Blue Sky under the name Legion Cub.
And Noel, why don't you tell us a little bit about The Finest?
The Finest is an international G.I. Joe costuming club raising money for our wonderful charity partner, Canines for Warriors. Check out thefinestcc.com or The Finest Recruitment Center on Facebook if you want to know more.
Our next live stream is February the 16th on the Needless Things YouTube channel. Be sure and put it on the calendar. Join us for some fun Joe conversation. Of course, the follow-up to Toy Fair 2026. Until then, yo, Joe.
Cobra.
You have been listening to a Needless Things production. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for the very best in toys, movies, music, and pop culture. Until next time, be kind and like what you like.